RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. All aspiring surgeons depend on their teachers and supervisors to become the best that they can in their chosen field. Most surgical educators are, of course, very good, but some are great. And how lucky for those students fortunate enough to come under their often inspirational guiding hands. One such surgeon is gastroenterologist and trauma surgeon Dr. Philip Jeans, who's been recognised for his long and substantial contribution to surgical education. Dr. Jeans is a worthy recipient of this year's Academy of Surgical Educators Supervisor of the Year Award. Philip Jeans' own training took him from Sydney to Newcastle, to the United States, and to Flinders Medical Centre in Adelaide, where he introduced and taught significant new laparoscopic procedures. Through his substantial career, Dr. Jeans has understood and practiced the special role that an educator plays in the life of his students. But what does it really take? Philip Jeans discusses his thoughts on surgical education and what it means to receive this year's award with Heather Dawson.
It's obviously an honour to receive an award like this, but I actually feel very humble about it. I see teaching and mentoring as an integral part of the responsibilities of a surgeon. And in a way, it's sort of repaying for what my own mentors gave to me. I try to give to the people that are learning under our supervision, yeah.
Well, the award recognises your special skills as an educator. What do you think it takes to be an effective educator in the surgical world?
Look, I studied philosophy of education and science when I was at Sydney University, and I think it helped me to order my own thoughts about the actual surgical science. Obviously, we need to have a good knowledge base, and we need to have clear thinking and order in our thinking. And I think if you've got that, then you can then be teaching people. But it's also understanding that adult education's sort of a little bit different, and adults need less didactic teaching and probably a lot more experience-based teaching of touching, seeing, feeling. And I think that's what sort of really helps as a surgical educator. And we're teaching at various different levels, you know, so medical students are different to interns, residents, surgical trainees, other surgeons, you know, so it has to be adjusted for obviously the type of person where they're at in their training.
But being empathetic must be important.
Oh, you have to understand that, yes, because, you know, if you understand where you might have had difficulties or where other people that you've taught might have had difficulties, you know, it helps to sort of understand how to perhaps get the person you're teaching to approach it in a different way.
Well, are there moments in your own training or teachers or supervisors that you had that helped shape your own subsequent successful career?
Oh, for sure. I did my 8 years up in Newcastle, and I think that was absolutely fantastic. There were a group of surgeons there, John Gillies, Bob Siller, Russ Pissett, Alan Boyd, who were all very important there. Later on, I had 6 months at Prince Henry, Prince of Wales system, and Jeff Pritchard, Brian Yao and John Hamm down there. And then eventually I was a senior registrar and lecturer at Flinders, and Jim Watts and Jim Tooley were all very important in shaping my career. I think the Newcastle surgeons were fantastic because prior to them getting a medical school, they'd really concentrated on techniques, and that was a real forte of being a surgical trainee in Newcastle.
Well, after your own specialist training, you did some intensive training in the United States before returning to Flinders Medical Centre to introduce modern laparoscopic procedures there. What do you recall most about your US training experience all those years ago?
Yeah, well, if I can just give a bit of a background, I went to train with George Bursey, who was one of the pioneers of laparoscopic procedures in the world. And he'd been down in Melbourne during the 1970s. And Jim Tooley had worked with him there. But one of my mentors in Newcastle, Bob Siller, was very impressed by George. And we'd started trying to do some laparoscopic things in general surgery in Newcastle in the early 80s. And when I was at Flinders, Jim Tooley was secretary of the International Biliary Association, and In 1987, when a French gynecologist did the first laparoscopic cholecystectomy, we heard about it very early on in the piece. We didn't know whether this was a gimmick or whether it was actually going to go anywhere, but we thought it was best to train somebody. And I was the only person in the general surgical department who'd had any laparoscopic experience. So I got training again with the gynecologists at Flinders, and then we organised for me to go to spend time with George Bursey in the United States. Now, because of George's previous contacts with my two mentors, he really took me under his wing like his own son, and he taught me from, you know, breakfast to bedtime every day and just didn't stop teaching. I've never had any intensive training like that any other time in my life. So in 2 weeks it was absolutely fantastic. And because of the excitement of the laparoscopic cholecystectomy and thinking in terms of what other things could we do laparoscopically that might have a big impact on people, it was a great time. And the course that I did was also with John Hunter, who became one of the great leaders of modern laparoscopic surgery in the United States. So it's an experience that you can't repeat, really.
Well, all surgery is complex, but were there particular challenges in teaching such new modern techniques to others when you came back?
There was, and I taught a lot of very experienced surgeons as well as the newer generation of trainees coming through. And the spatial nature of working in three dimensions but working off a two-dimensional screen is very difficult for some people to adapt to. And I saw some really excellent surgeons from the open era of surgery who really struggled with this. A lot of my colleagues joked with me that they thought I was good at it because it was a sign of a misspent youth playing too many video games and pinball machines and things like that as I grew up. But those sort of skills that are gained by playing video games have really helped people in how they adjust to laparoscopic surgery.
Well, after Flinders, you were headhunted to Canberra, I understand, where you went on to teach those operations, as well as being a senior instructor in the College of Surgeons trauma courses. Could you tell us about your approach as a trauma educator and what makes a great trauma surgeon?
Well, look, I was really inspired by trauma management when I was in Newcastle. The head of surgery, Ted Hennessy, and the head of anaesthetics, Owen James, had been in Phnom Penh during the last 6 weeks of the Lon Nol regime in 1975, where they were surrounded by the Khmer Rouge. And they were overwhelmed with trauma. And they came back to Australia and they set up a fantastic system for trauma reception and safety and transport of trauma cases. And so in Newcastle, the surgeons there that I worked with, I think like me, saw trauma as a sort of ultimate challenge, you know, where you had the ability to sort of try and create some order out of chaos, where you could use a whole range of surgical skills that you'd learned from different subspecialties, etc. So that had a big influence on me. And then I was on the third ever EMST course when EMST was introduced. And I worked with on that course with Peter King, who was an inspiration. He was a surgeon from Shepparton who initiated a lot of the safety things that have helped Australia, such as compulsory seat belts and wearing helmets for motorcycles and drink driving rules. And they were very inspiring people. But I think to be a good trauma surgeon, you need a good diagnostic mind. You have to understand that the approach to trauma is different to everything else that we do. When we try and diagnose problems, normally we're trying to narrow down to a specific diagnosis. In trauma, you've got to reverse all that and think that anything is possible. And so it's a different mindset. You need a different skill set. And to be a good trauma surgeon, you've got to be able to provide leadership, work in a team. You've got to have a good understanding of the urgency of different problems so that you can push the hospital systems to function properly to respond to that. So I think all of those things are very important. You've got to have protocols. And the college's introduction of the EMST protocol, which was a little bit different to what we had already done in Newcastle, but if those protocols are adhered to, we saw a lot less complications and problems arising.
Now, you mentioned just now the inspirational impact that some of the doctors that you had worked with have had, and indeed those nominated for this award that you've received this year have demonstrated inspirational role modelling, along with a deep understanding and commitment to surgical education. Now, Dr. Jeans, you've taught many students from many universities, and some may be listening to you now. Do you see yourself as inspirational, or at least hope that that's what you've been?
Look, if I've inspired somebody, that's fantastic. I never saw myself as inspirational. I just thought I was really doing what was required in my job. I think the great things I learnt in Newcastle was that you put patient care as number one. They always said to me, if you look after the patients, they'll look after you. And I think that's sort of what happens. And as part of being a good surgeon, we're always striving for excellence in everything that we do. So if that's rubbed off on other people, then I'm very grateful.
Well, final question. What would you say to other surgical educators who, like you, hope to make a difference in surgical education?
Look, I think the main thing would be to try and give the juniors a chance. When I started as an intern, my surgeons allowed me to be doing appendectomies in my first term. These days, that doesn't happen. And people have to wait a lot longer before they get that chance to get that hands-on training. And I think that's one thing that we need to work on more, and trying to let go a little bit. Some colleagues are frightened to let their trainees do things because they know they won't do them quite as well as what they do. But in some ways, you've got to be able to relax a little bit and allow people that opportunity to do things. And that's the way the next generation are going to learn.
2017 Surgical Educator Award recipient, Dr. Philip Jeans. RAC's Post-Op Podcast is brought to you with the compliments of the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons and leading financial services organisation, the Bongiorno National Network, the preferred choice for medical professionals across Australia. You can reach the Bongiorno National Network on +613 9863 3111.